We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the Adi Lila, Chapter 2, entitled Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text number 93. Asraya Janite Kahi Enava Padartha Enavira Utpatti Hetu Se Asrayarta. Translation. To know distinctly the ultimate shelter of everything that be, I have described the other nine categories. The cause for the appearance of these nine is rightly called their shelter. So just for reference, we are discussing here the 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is a verse from the 10th chapter of the second canto of Bhagavatam. Atra sarga visargas cha stanam pusanam utaya manvantari sanakuta nirodha muktir asraya. It is explaining here that there are 10 subjects described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarga, number one, the first creation by Vishnu, the bringing forth of the 5 gross material elements, the 5 objects of sense perception, the 10 senses, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the total material energy or universal form. So now we'll be listing 9 subjects. And then the 10th subject is Lord Krishna, Asraya, the shelter of all the other subjects. It said all the others are asrita, or shelter-seeking. So here we see all the other aspects that are now described are dependent. The first creation, bringing forth the gross material elements, objects of sense perception, senses, mind, intelligence, all dependent on Krishna. 2. Visarga. The secondary creation, or the work of Brahma in producing the moving and unmoving bodies in the universe, Brahmanda. 3. Stana, the maintenance of the universe by the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Vishnu's function is more important and his glory greater than Brahma's and Lord Shiva's, for although Brahma is the creator and Lord Shiva the destroyer, Vishnu is the maintainer. 4. Posana, special care and protection for devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, so the personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees, who are souls completely surrendered unto him. Oftentimes, the point is raised that Lord Krishna is equal to all. Samaham sarvabhutesu. I am equal to all living beings. So, simultaneously, however, we see that Lord Krishna is favoring his devotees. And there seems to be a contradiction between these two principles. And oftentimes, this is discussed, the acharyas have discussed this point, how Lord Krishna is equal to all and yet simultaneously partial to his devotees. So there is no contradiction, because after all, Lord Krishna gives everyone the opportunity to be a devotee, and therefore everyone gets equal opportunity. It is not that Lord Krishna is excluding anyone from being a devotee. Still, he may not give the same treatment to everyone. He's merciful to all, but the way that his mercy is manifest is different in relation to his devotees. Many examples are there. We see that, for example, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he had such an intimate relationship with Krishna, because Krishna appreciated so much the dedication of Maharaj Yudhisthira, that Krishna was inclined to become his personal messenger, his assistant, his immediate associate, and so on. And it is said when all the residents of Hastinapur, after the battle of Kurukshetra, it was a very difficult time because so many people had died, 640 million people had died. So therefore, at that time, there was naturally so many rituals were being performed for all the funeral ceremonies and this and that, so it was a very heavy atmosphere, without a doubt. But that everyone could deal with. They could somehow or other manage that. Although Yudhisthira had a very difficult time, but Bhishma Dev sort of managed to inspire Yudhisthira and relieve him from feelings of guilt. Then Lord Krishna wanted to leave to Dwarka. Now this was more difficult to bear than anything else. More difficult to bear than the whole misery of the battle and everything was the fact that Krishna wanted to leave. But, and no one could stop him. Everyone tried to stop him, but no one could. Kunti Devi was inquiring from him, and her aim was to somehow or other stop Krishna from leaving to Dwarka. But she could not. But when Yudhisthira Maharaj asked Krishna to stay at least for a few more days, immediately he obliged. And it is explained by the Acharyas, the reason was that the Lord feels indebted to his devotee. This shows the principle that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be purchased by love, by loving service, by selfless loving service of the devotee. And in that way, the Lord will give special care to his devotees, because he will reciprocate accordingly. And Lord Krishna becomes purchased. It was saying that Lord Krishna was feeling very affectionate to all these residents in Hastinapur because they were all his family members, and he really felt like family affection. So it was for him also painful to leave. So again the question is raised, how can the Supreme Lord experience family affection? The Supreme Lord is is independent. He is Aja, he is birthless, he doesn't take birth. So where is the question of family affection for the Supreme Lord? How can one take it that Lord Krishna is experienced, here is my father, here is my mother, and so on. Here are my uncles, here are my aunties, my grandfather, everything, my cousins. All this is, and Krishna really experiences these emotions. It is not that Krishna is above these emotions, because Krishna becomes purchased by the devotion of the devotee, and then he begins to reciprocate in this relationship so much that he is experiencing very great and intimate relationships with his family members. So here, posana, special care and protection for devotees by the Lord. As a king maintains his kingdom and subjects, but nevertheless gives special attention to the members of his family, so the Personality of Godhead gives special care to his devotees, who are souls completely surrendered to him. 5. Uti, the urge for creation, or initiative power that is the cause of all inventions, according to the necessities of time, space, and objects. The creation, first of all, depends on the desire of the living entities, because it is the fact that the living being wants to be separate from the Supreme Lord, which is the initial cause for the existence of the material universe. Without the desire of the living being, there would be no need for any material universe. because in itself the material universe is at all times an imperfect situation. It is described as a perverted reflection of the spiritual energy. And therefore, within the material realm, the facilities are all problematic. Now, devotional service is so perfect that one can easily, in spite of these problems, engage in pure devotional service. But the basic problems of material existence are manifold. Birth, death, old age, and disease, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, darshanam. It is said birth, death, old disease are there. It is a place where misery is manifest, and everything is temporary. Therefore, for a devotee, there is no pleasure in this world outside of devotional service to Krishna. And whenever anything appears to be pleasurable, it is simply the effect of the illusory energy. The illusory energy is very powerful. Tejo varimadam yata vinimayo yata trisargami sadam nisvena sada nirastakurukam satyam param dimahi. The nature of the illusory energy is that we see things that are not there. And especially we see happiness that is not there. That is the nature of the illusory energy. It is analogies are offered that one can see water on land or water in fire which is not there. The deer running into the desert after such illusory water, and so on. But really, the analogy is truly dealing with, it's not about water, it's about happiness. Seeing happiness where it's not there, and running after it. This is the illusory energy. When we say, oh, I have so many material attachments, then really, the one answer could be that, no, you don't have so much material attachments, you have so many material illusions. Right? We don't have so much material attachment, we have so many material illusions that we think that this material energy can offer us happiness. That is a most foolish thing. That is a great bewilderment. How can one think like that? There's no question. Happiness comes from Krishna. Happiness, yes, material energy is nice if it is connected to Krishna. Then it is very nice. Anything connected with Krishna is a great thing. Anything used for the glorification of Krishna is wonderful. But without, not much meaning. So the further creation in the technical sense, how it manifests itself, uti, is from the, it is Lord Krishna who is ultimately involved in this creation, and who expands himself. Because in his original form, Lord Krishna will not mix with the material energy. But when Lord Krishna is expanding himself into the form of Mahavishnu, he is manifesting the material energy from his personal body. So, and we understand that Lord Sadashiva, the expansion of Lord Mahavishnu, who is also within the Vishnu Tattva category, that Sadashiva is acting as Shambhu, who's impregnating the Pradhana with living beings, and the material energy, the Mahatattva, becomes manifest. Bhagavatam gives many descriptions of the ins and outs of the creation, and how the various sensual functions are first manifest by the Supreme Lord, and then the living beings also have the opportunity to have sensual functions. When there is, for example, sight in the universal form, then there is sight within the living beings, and so on. So, the essence of these descriptions is to understand that at every stage of our existence, we are dependent on the Supreme Lord for anything and everything, all the time. Without the Supreme Lord, no sight. With the Supreme Lord, immediately vision and sight is there. 6. Manvantara. The period controlled by the Manus, who teach regulative principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. The rules of Manu, as described in the Manu Samhita, guide the way to such perfection. So there are many arrangements for the administration of the universe. And within higher regions of the universe, we find there are many residents who are involved in controlling universal affairs. And such rulers are really the representatives of the Supreme Lord. So the Manus are particularly extremely pious living beings who are meant to represent the interest of the Supreme Lord in the universe and protect the principles of Dharma. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma. A day of Brahma is described as Sahasra Yuga Paryantam, that there are 1,000 yugas in one day of Brahma. So 14 means 71, 71 cycles of four yugas, or Divya Yugas, or Maha Yugas. The four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali together, are known as Maha Yuga or Divya Yuga. And 1,000 of those constitute a day of Brahma. And 71 of those constitute one period in which a Manu is ruling. So that is a very extensive period of time, and therefore we understand we're dealing with celestial beings when we are dealing with the Manus. The Manus are generally residing even above the heavenly planets. In the regions, there are the Maharjana and Tapalokas. And so we understand that they are generally residing in these regions of the Maharlokas. From in Brihad Bhagavatamrita we find some mention to that effect. The next topic, as one of the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam, is Ishanu Katha, scriptural information regarding the personality of Godhead, his incarnations on earth, and the activities of his devotees. Scriptural dealings with these subjects are essential for progressive human life. So Srimad Bhagavatam is full of such narrations and is describing how the Supreme Lord appears in all kinds of incarnations, sometimes in... So the various incarnations of the Lord are manifestations that relate to different stages of development of the living being. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is explaining that the Lord takes his birth in various species, and that he is relating to the consciousness of the living being accordingly. The Lord is manifesting on all planes, from more gross, more brutal, to more refined. The Lord shows that He is able to deal with the power of any demon, and He does so not because He has to personally appear to deal with any demon, because that is a simple matter. If the Lord would desire to kill a demon, you could make unlimited arrangements. A thunderbolt would be sufficient. The earth swallowing up the demon would be another option, and so many unlimited ways would be there to remove the demon from the planet. That would be would not require His personal interference. But in order to give faith, to strengthen the faith of His devotees, to deepen the love of His devotees, therefore the Supreme Lord personally comes and deals with all these demons. Otherwise, there was no need to do so. So rather, when it is said, paritranaya sadhanam vinasya saduskridam dharmasam stapanatya sambhavami yuge yuge, that the Lord appears millennium after millennium to annihilate the demons and to establish the principles of religion, then we should understand that actually the Lord, His real purpose is to deal with His devotees. It is not that He requires to annihilate demoniac personalities or influences. That's not His real mission. His real mission is simply to strengthen devotional service, to relate to individual devotees that have somehow or other pleased Him. And therefore, all these descriptions, Ishanukata, it is said here, it describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, His incarnations on earth, and the activities of His devotees. Because there's no question of an incarnation of the Lord who is not interacting with His devotees. The whole purpose of the Lord's appearance is to relate to His devotees. And therefore, in all the incarnations of the Lord, we see very intimate interactions between the Lord and His devotees. And this is the most wonderful feature, because by reading about these devotees, we are seeing ourselves, we are looking at ourselves, and in our own performance in spiritual life, we encounter these devotees are acting as perfect examples on our spiritual path, and therefore offer us encouragement, offer us insight of what to do. And therefore, by taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is very soothing to the heart, because Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us very deep encouragement. Deep encouragement in our spiritual life. It is not only giving us a motivation of being a devotee, but it is also showing us how to be a devotee. When we are struggling, and when we are externally acting in the process of bhakti, but internally not at all so strong as we appear externally, then it is Srimad Bhagavatam that gives us reasons to engage in devotional service, that gives us, that shows us how different devotees were tested, how they remained determined. And in the same way, we also can look at our own lives and become stronger. So therefore, this Ishanukata is very essential. Niroda is the next topic, number 8. The winding up of all energies employed in creation. Such potencies are emanation from the Personality of Godhead, who eternally lies in the Karana ocean. The cosmic creations, manifested with His breath, are again dissolved in due course. So, I call it the bigger picture. It's very important that we keep our eye on the bigger picture and not just become so overwhelmed by the temporary, smaller reality in which we are now. Here, on this planet, in this place, at this time, is really not so important. This time is not a very important time. What is happening right now is not so amazing. Right? We need that broader vision and see that it is another Kali Yuga. Right. And that so many Kali Yugas, 1,000 Kali Yugas are passing in a day of Brahma. Mind you, it is a special Kali Yuga, because once in a day of Brahma, the Supreme Lord personally appears. So now in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya has personally appeared. So it is a glorious Kali Yuga, a special Kali Yuga. But then that happens also once in a day of Brahma. And how many days of Brahma are there? And so on and so on. Right? So in one sense, we have to have a sense of eternity and see how everything repeats itself in cycles, and that some living entities will take advantage and some will not. And some will not. So some detachment must be there. Although we are naturally partial, because the living being, the human being by nature is inclined towards the smaller vision. By nature is inclined to look at this temporary world. Srila Prabhupada describes that the living being can fall down to the illusory energy at any time due to the littleness of his existence. The jiva being described as anu, and the littleness of his existence is referring to the limitations of his power. Of course, mind you, to counterbalance that statement, we could look at the Nietzsche Siddhas, who are described to be extraordinarily powerful, and can do quite amazing things also in terms of amazing mystic powers and so forth. But still, this is all simply supplied by the Supreme Lord. It is not that these powers are inherent to the jiva, and that the jiva has such powers on his own. Rather, when the jiva becomes very powerful on the spiritual plane, it is that the jiva is simply empowered by the Supreme Lord. In other words, it is the Supreme Lord who is lending his energy to that living being, who then becomes extraordinarily empowered. But by nature, we are insignificant, not very powerful beings at all. Therefore, by nature, we are prone to develop the smaller vision. And as soon as we develop the smaller vision, we take the material energy serious. Therefore, to contemplate on Nirodha, or the winding up of the material energies, is helpful to give us the broader vision, Udharadi, that broader intelligence. Mahatma versus Ksudratma. Mahatma, the great soul, who sees from the divine perspective, the eternal perspective of the Supreme Lord, and Ksudratma, who is completely seeing the temporary material situation and takes it very serious. So a devotee is again and again reminded and reminding himself that this is all temporary. This is actually, in one sense, not real. Because how can temporary be real? Whatever, once it has ceased to exist, it is no more. So then, what is the reality of its existence? So the Vaishnavas are always keeping this in mind. So somehow or other, if by meditating on these 10 subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are getting different angles by which we can deal with the illusory energy. Just as we are looking back again, posana, special care and protection for the devotees. Nice. That gives us faith. Krishna will not forsake us. Krishna is with us. Name bhakti pranasyati. Kunti apratijani name bhakti pranasyati. My dear son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee will never perish. So this is very valuable. That we ultimately understand that the destiny of a devotee is always auspicious. Whether the Lord will save our material body or not, that we don't know. Right? Ultimately, one day he will not. Right? One day, he may save us many times. Whew, that was a close misser. Krishna saved us. Whew. Okay, that may happen, but one day he will not. Because the nature of Krishna is however that he will always protect his devotee. So even when Krishna will not save our life, he will save our eternal destiny. And therefore there's nothing to worry about. And we see that great devotees would just completely rely on the Supreme Lord. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, it is described how Narada Muni went into the, when he was 5 years old, his mother was bitten by a serpent, and then Narada, following the instructions of the Bhaktivedantas, left home and began to wander throughout the world. And he wandered throughout forests, he wandered throughout dangerous jungles, and it is said that generally the renunciants would travel through such jungles to develop dependence on the Supreme Lord and to just completely leave it up to the Supreme Lord what would happen to them. Then if I think of Lord Rishabdev, who at one point his body just burned up in a forest fire. Then you say, like, well, that was Lord Rishabdev. He was like a Shaktiyavesh avatar. He was a highly divinely empowered jiva, and who manifested special potency of the Supreme Lord, therefore Shakti Avesh, and still he burned in a forest fire. So therefore, when we are thinking about this Nirodha, then and the Lord winding up all his energies, then we understand the temporary nature of things. And we just accept that. Because with firm faith that the eternal aspect of our nature, the eternal spirit soul, will never be affected. Nainam chindanti sustani, nainam daati pavakaha na chediyanti apuna asosayati marutaha. That the soul will never be cut to pieces, burned by fire, withered by the wind, or any such material calamities cannot befall the eternal spirit soul. One topic, next topic that is described is mukti, liberation of the conditioned soul engaged by the gross and subtle coverings of the mind. Of course, real liberation is only devotional service. That was established in the discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Patantyana Dritta Yusvadangrahaya, it is stated that those who attain impersonal liberation, they again come down to the material energy. Therefore, it is not considered liberation at all, but only bhakti. Bhakti is offering eternal liberation, is offering liberation, technically speaking, is sometimes defined as that state which is free from any influence of matter. That is fine. But and in that sense, we can see that the impersonalist can also be liberated. He can attain a state of existence where there's no influence of matter. However, since he has not come to the final subject of the Bhagavatam, Asraya, the supreme shelter, the supreme personality of Godhead, therefore he cannot find an eternal position. The only eternal position is found at the lotus feet of the Lord. And this is the essence, and that is the very nature of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, that is our category. And we see how everything else is always related to the Supreme Lord. In other words, when we are looking at the universe and how it is created, we can see how it is related to the Supreme Lord. We can see how it is maintained by the Supreme Lord. Right now, at this time, the whole world is so much up in arms about the greenhouse effect, and everyone is noticing that this year the weather is extremely warm everywhere. Right? If you thought it was warm here, where I was, it was really extremely warm. I was in the warm, in the summer, in sweltering summers. Right? In Australia, it was so extremely hot, like the hottest ever, the hottest ever, and so on and so on. So the heat is definitely happening this year. But when we see things in relation to Srimad Bhagavatam, then we simply see the Supreme Lord behind it all, and we can be quite peaceful. The Dutch have sent a government team to Greenland, which is now in observing the melting ice caps and calculating, and because we may have to immigrate, right? Well, it could happen, you know, that we may have to apply for asylum, political asylum. Refugees will become refugees. I don't think so. Thanks for the offer. Appreciate it a lot. Very kind of you. I can just see Gauranga Premananda in a big boat with all his books. It's like sort of paddling away out of Amsterdam. So like this, what can be said? But all that can be easily accepted by a Vaishnava who sees behind everything the Supreme Lord. So therefore we can be free from anxiety. So the whole purpose of systematically looking at all these different topics in Srimad Bhagavatam is that we can understand how we are always in all aspects of life at every moment protected and maintained by the Supreme Lord, and that there is no need for any form of anxiety. Rather, that anxiety is simply due to the illusory energy of the Lord. Because there is the illusory energy, we are in anxiety. Otherwise, everything is really perfectly directed within the perfect plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So somehow or other we have to Bhagavatam helps us to see the material energy in different ways in connection with the Supreme Lord. But that is not the ultimate aim of Srimad Bhagavatam. The ultimate aim of Srimad Bhagavatam is that our consciousness, there should be a shift in our consciousness, and that we become more and more absorbed in thinking of the Supreme Lord, and less concerned with thoughts about the material energy, only when that material energy is related to the Supreme Lord. The tortoise who keeps his limbs within the shell means the devotee who is constantly remembering Krishna and only puts out his limbs to, that means only interacts with the material world when there is a benefit for the service of Krishna. And otherwise, just Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Kichit kivalai Krishna Vasudeva Parayana. To always be absorbed, completely absorbed in serving Krishna, remembering Krishna. And increasingly, therefore, we should engage in the principal activities or the or Bhagavad Bhakti. Bhagavad Bhakti are the three processes known as Sravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam, or hearing, chanting and remembering about Krishna. And that is, that should become the principal activity of a devotee. That the devotee is constantly absorbed in hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna directly. And we should spend more time with remembering Krishna directly. And this is, of course, a struggle, because the material energy is sometimes pushing for our attention. The material energy is creating so many situations that one has to deal with. But as much as possible, we must create direct hearing, chanting and remembering Lord Krishna. This is and then the more we share these activities, the more profound they will become. Our hearing, chanting and remembering, when it is shared with others, then that hearing, chanting and remembering takes on greater depth and greater meaning. And therefore, that is because then the speaker will be purified, the audience will be purified, anyone who is somehow or other becoming affected by such discussions about Lord Krishna becomes purified. So therefore, somehow or other, Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. These are the principal activities that we should somehow or other embrace in our day, as much as we can, and increasingly so. We should arrange our life to increasingly chant the holy name of the Lord, to increasingly become absorbed in Srimad Bhagavatam. By reading this this chapter of Bhagavatam, the second chapter of Bhagavatam, we can very much see how Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, is an expansion on Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presenting Srimad Bhagavatam by far as the principal source of evidence in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, but ultimately we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Bhakta Rupa, the devotee who teaches by example, is simply teaching Srimad Bhagavatam by example. And all, therefore, all the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam are once again further reiterated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And therefore, we can understand that here, when we are going through the philosophy of Bhagavatam, we are getting an opportunity to understand this philosophy somewhat more deeper. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is especially designed to give us a deeper understanding of the conclusions and teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So for that reason, we are here discussing the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions, any comments?
Thanks for your lecture. I was wondering, you were telling that identity is binding Krishna by yourself in service. And you see also people in the society who are doing charity. It's also, so are they also binding Krishna?
People that do mundane charity,
yeah.
Are they also serving Krishna? Well, not any more than anyone else. They're serving Krishna indirectly. Everyone serves Krishna. Ye atamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajami aham. Mama vartmanu vartante. Everyone is following my path in all respects. Yeah. So everyone in the material world is in one sense within Krishna's greater plan and fulfilling a function there. Those who engage in charity which relates to the body, such kind of charity is not very beneficial, because the result of it is temporary. Therefore, it is not necessarily of great benefit to the mission of Lord Krishna. Yeah. Sometimes devotees may be able to take some advantage of such material arrangements that others make and connect them with the service of Krishna, then it becomes meaningful. So everything becomes only meaningful when a devotee connects these activities in the service of Krishna. Prior to that, simply indirectly, very slowly purifying the living being through sukha and dukkha to happiness and distress in this material world. So they're not really changing anything. So all that work is simply not contributing anything. Just as Prabhupada said, he was imitating the sounds of cars in New York at neck-breaking speed. They're not going anywhere. They're not making any progress. Not going anywhere. So this is the situation. Neck-breaking speed, not going anywhere.
You mentioned about Krishna's attachment to family.
Krishna's attachment to?
His family.
His family. Well, we should, when we have feelings towards our family, we should expand our vision, and we should think that the whole world is my family. We should not stop at that little group of people that we were born with. But we can take advantage of their affection for us, because they may think in the bodily platform and still see that there is some special connection with us, right? And we can give them the mercy. I mean, that's the pure transcendental understanding. Because why would we consider the relationship with those who we have taken birth with any more important than any other relationship? Why? You know, why would you feel something special for Croatians and something a little less for Serbians? You know, why? Right? They're all spirit souls, right? Serbian spirit souls. So why, you know, why like some living beings better than others in terms of birth and place and country? Simply, we have to really develop this mood that all these living beings are our relatives. And then if you look at Prabhupada, you see that he had compassion for strangers. That he was actually touched by the suffering of people he didn't know. And sometimes quite a bit. It's explained that when Prabhupada was in his final days in England, he was just getting in a very compassionate mood about people who were suffering in material life. So I think it's amazing. Yeah. We can see the misery of people on TV at the other side of the world, and it doesn't touch us. Not deeply. So we are very callous to the suffering of people. But our family, if they are a little open to us, well, then we can give them some mercy, somehow or other. That would be the real, from the spiritual point of view, that would be the benefit. On the other hand, you see Yudhisthira Maharaj, he has a natural affection for his family. And we are also sentient beings. We also have that. If you spend a long time with someone, you shared so many things, you have some, you know, you wish them well. You went through so much together, you wish them well. So, all right, that's fine, we wish them well. Because we went through so much together, let's give them the real benefit, then. Something Krishna conscious, somehow or other. Right? So I don't think it's a waste of time if a devotee travels 2,000 kilometers to just be there with a departing grandmother or something like that. You know, I don't think so. I think, well, you know what you to do, it's so far. No, I think, go and give the mercy. Why not? Yes.
In the one leg of Brahma, it's many Kali Yugas.
It's many Kali Yugas, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So my question is, why is coming only one? And like, why this Kaliyuga is so special that you know Krishna came the other Kaliyuga?
Yeah. Well, the Krishna, of course, can do whatever he likes. So it's up to him how often he wants to come. So Krishna chose to come only once in a day of Brahma, personally. One reason is that when Krishna personally comes, he comes to give pure love of God. And pure love of God is so exalted, it is so rarely attained, that most living beings in the material world are really not inclined towards that goal. They're all practicing different religious activities for the sake of getting some benefit. And even those, so there are very few who are pure devotees. Most are mixed devotees, and they want some, they want mercy from Krishna, but also some material benefits. Even those who are free from that, they may still not be able to relate to the Lord in this very intimate way of Vrindavan. So it is very rare. So Krishna comes and reciprocates to such souls who are, he makes the knowledge available, and those who are interested to surrender, they can surrender. That's when Krishna comes. But then Lord Chaitanya, he comes after that only once, and he makes that Kali Yuga very special. There is nothing special about this Kali Yuga in itself. It's just like any other Kali Yuga. The only difference is really Lord Chaitanya. He makes it special. And then Lord Chaitanya, by his will, makes this Kali Yuga special, and even gives the love of God to those who have no qualification, no interest, and somehow or other are not very serious about it, but still they get the chance. Like, that's us. Yeah? I mean, in other words, he even gives it to us. And we are like that, say, well, oh, so much to do to get this love of God. Like, I don't know if I really want to. Do I? Maybe not. Yeah? And still, he keeps on giving it to us. Somehow or other. So that is Lord Chaitanya. So the special nature of this time is simply Lord Chaitanya's mercy. That's it. His causeless mercy. There's no reason for it. It's causeless. Okay, Gaurang. Well, there are three options, you know. One option, you mentioned two, but I would say there are three. One option is Srila Prabhupada went back to Godhead, or another option, he's still somewhere in another universe preaching, and another option is both. Both. Yeah. So, I had no personal communication about this matter. I guess one can only know this for sure if one has some personal communication. And therefore it would either be a special act of mercy where Prabhupada reveals himself to a devotee to tell him, or one would have to be an antaranga bhakta. If one is an antaranga seva, then and quite realized in antaranga seva, then maybe one would be able to know such a thing. I am just totally Bahirangi Bhakta, Bhakta Abbas, therefore, just a dim reflection of a devotee. So, such realization are beyond my level. But I can see the three options. Yes?
You were saying that we should be increasing our Shaman Kirtan Smaya. But somehow or other, at some point we decide to dedicate ourselves, we
the end of Shravanam Kirtanam Smarana.
So how to get some how to make frustration on
the side. Yeah, there's also something true to that effect. Many of us found that we had more time to read before we came in touch with the Krishna consciousness movement than after. Um,
course, there is that conversation with Paramananda. Paramananda was a farmer, and he was serving in New Vrindavan, later also Gita Nagari. And he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I'm working so hard, I never have time to read Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada told him, this is also Bhagavad Gita. This is also Bhagavad Gita. So, applied Bhagavad Gita, so at least the Smaranam is there. So if one is very much absorbed in just doing Krishna's service, then Smaranam can be there in that service. But nonetheless, because we are conditioned devotees, if we were liberated devotees, yes, then it wouldn't make no difference at all. Even if we would be engaged in some practical service for Krishna, the Smaranam would be very strong. But because what happens to us is that although the service is transcendental, but we are conditioned, we forget the Smaranam, we forget to remember Krishna. Therefore, we must, besides the responsibilities we take in the service of Krishna, make sure there is strong Shravanam and Kirtanam. And if we start taking so much service that there is no more Shravanam and Kirtanam, then I think it might be in the category of over-endeavor. Over-endeavor. Achyahara prayasyascha. Then, which is mentioned as one of the factors that are very unfavorable for spiritual advancement. So one should not take on so much service that he cannot hear and chant. Now, ironically speaking, the ISKCON management may sometimes try to give us so much service that we cannot actually hear and chant, right, in the name of surrender. But I would say that we should hold our ground. We should hold our ground and protect our Sravanam Kirtanam. If we don't protect our Sravanam and Kirtanam, no one else is going to do it for us. ISKCON is not going to do that for you. That's the reality. Within this movement, one must create room for Sravanam and Kirtanam, because others are not going to do it for us. Sometimes, but many times not. The tendency is there to kind of... Well, some people say that 10%, there are 10% of the people who are do 90% of the work, and 90% of the people who do 10% of the work. So especially when you belong to the 10%, then everyone always comes to you. Oh, can you do this? Can you do that? If you've shown that you are willing to work hard, then they only go to you and give you more and more and more. And in the end, you know, you have your Sravanam Kirtanam is squeezed in between and is becoming... You never read a book and you chant useless rounds. This is not beneficial. This is not beneficial. So one must be intelligent. This is a movement where one cannot go on automatic pilot. It is a movement where one has to apply the process with intelligence. And one has to look after his own spiritual life very carefully. We fly our own plane. Go around.
During chanting japa, how one becomes more internal.
How it becomes more internal?
How to make it more internal, like you say, more internal, because the hearing is so much dominant.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be no space for talking or relating.
I guess that the chanting, obviously when we begin chanting, the tendency to chant mechanically, to take it as a mechanical process, is quite natural. because we have very little vision of who Krishna is. So I think that it's a matter of developing our vision. As our vision of Krishna is deepening and broadening, as we understand more and more how wonderful Krishna is, how in very subtle ways Krishna works with his devotees, Krishna's unlimited energies, and Krishna's amazing features, the more Krishna's special mercy, Krishna's incarnations, Lord Chaitanya as the most amazing incarnation of all, if we kind of look at, appreciate that deeper and broader in more and more detail, with more and more concern, I think then as we're chanting, the mantra gets so much more meaning. And each time we chant, the whole concept is changed. Then in the beginning, when we chant, yes, well, here's the Maha Mantra. It's non-different from Krishna. Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that concept that we have of Krishna, the vision that we have of Krishna, is very limited. So it's a matter of developing our vision of Krishna. So therefore, Sravanam Kirtanam, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, our vision is very much enhanced. It can also be revealed from within, because Krishna, he reveals himself from within. It's not a mechanical process. One can chant and chant and chant. One can read and read and read. One can hear and hear and hear. But ultimately, something about the involvement of the heart and something about his surrender that attracts Krishna. And when Krishna is attracted and manifests himself, then we see him from within. Anyway, both from within and without. Within, we cannot force it. If we start to try and feel something in the chanting, that is not that's not appropriate, because that's up to Krishna, what feelings he will manifest in our heart that we cannot force. But what are we doing for Krishna? Ultimately, the hearing and chanting and remembering must be used also in the service of Krishna. One may say, but hearing, chanting is service in itself. It is. It is. But there is a difference between a bhajananandi and goshtiyanandi. And the bhajananandi is doing that hearing and chanting as a service in itself. The goshtiyanandi is using that hearing and chanting to enliven others in Krishna consciousness at the same time. But that is the greater dimension, more pleasing to Krishna. Then Krishna will be inclined to reveal himself more. So in this way, we can go deeper into the internal aspects of chanting Hare Krishna, of hearing and chanting. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jaya.